Right now, it is time for the Berkshire Edge On Air. You can find them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, theberkshireedge.com. And we welcome in Marcy and David. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're good morning. So you're sheltering in place, I gather?
Well, sheltering in two places. My life consists of getting up from my house, you know, sitting at my home studio, and then coming into the station, and then leaving the station and going back to my home studio.
Marshall's been sheltering in place since we started the radio station.
Since we started the radio station. Basically, it's been my whole life, so I haven't had to change my life, really,
so
at all.
So it's really not a change for you at all.
No, no. Actually.
I look at everybody and say, what's the big deal? You know, I've been doing this for 7 years.
Just back and forth. You can track the whatever vehicle it is, just moving from point A to point B, B to point A.
Well, we are the same situation. I mean, we work from home most of the time.
Yes, but
David, we actually have an office, but neither of us works in that office full time. And it's mostly our managing editor goes there most days, and we use it for meetings.
But what about the opera?
We have sales staff that goes there, too.
Yeah, our poor office is empty.
That's right. The building...
our home offices are very busy.
Yeah, our building has a sign out when you come in. This building is closed to the general public.
Actually, that sign has faded pretty... Yeah.
It's faded pretty bad because it's been through some hellacious rainstorms. But anyway.
Yeah.
Let us get to...
get to the news.
We'll get to the news, and I guess what's in the news to start once again.
COVID, what we were talking about.
The COVID-19...
That was the news.
stay-at-home directives and more. Massachusetts and Connecticut and New York are all joined in some sort of a weird way. I guess that is your lead story that you've got with us today.
Well,
yeah. we have what we call the coronavirus update.
Yeah.
And it's live updates. And we just keep adding whatever news about, you know, openings or closings or postponements or... reconfiguring of how town meetings are conducted and that sort of thing. We have it all in one long, continually added to story. And so that's what people refer to as, according to we monitor how our stories are being viewed, and that is really one of the most popular right now.
It's interesting because we did the same thing starting on that initial Thursday when all hell broke loose, and we have left the running tab up because when this is all over, we want to have historical reference to go back.
Well, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons we're keeping it. It just as rather than individual stories.
Yeah. It gives
just one long... one long scroll, you might say, of this, how this pandemic worked out.
That's exactly what we're doing, because sooner or later, people in the towns will want something like that, and it will become a historical document,
so to speak.
Well, you know, the one thing about the Edge is that every document, every article that we have ever published remains up. So we are really building a community archive. We've been up, it's almost 6 years, we'll be 6 years on April 28th. And every article that we've published, so if you want to go back and see what happened 6 years ago, it's there. You just have to search for it in our little search bar.
Well,
I think what you're doing or what we're doing, these will be very interesting documents.
You know, and some of the interesting things that we're seeing are historically rooted organizations in Connecticut, New York, and Massachusetts, especially nonprofits and theater organizations, doing things that they've never done before. One of them happens to be your next story, the Boston Pops. Their spring series at Tanglewood has been canceled, and they're still trying to figure out what to do with the rest of the summer.
They are. You know, we're all sort of hanging on a little bit of hope that they'll be able to, they've canceled the Boston Pops, and they've canceled their popular artist series, which took place in, you know, in early in the summer. But they haven't canceled the you know, beyond the end, I think beyond the end of June. So everybody is wondering, because that's the engine of our local economy.
Well, you know,
Shakespeare and Company canceled.
Yeah, we had a story yesterday that in that log, that running story that we were just talking about, that Shakespeare and Company had postponed its 2020 season.
Yep.
Altogether.
Okay, so. Although they're saying that they may revive it in the fall, perhaps.
And what was really encouraging about that one, because it was possible, was it looked to the future. Some of the first ones coming out were, you know, less forward thinking, but they have still maintained. They've changed their gala, and they are still planning to do certain things that they may or may not be able to do, but at least it's still being planned.
Are they the ones that are going to do work with Audible and put out audio?
No, that's is it?
Oh, that's Williamstown.
Yeah.
Williamstown.
Right. Yeah, Williamstown is planning to do that. I mean, but you're right. You know, when I was looking at your website, I saw the story about how especially in Great Barrington and Stockbridge, how the economies are going to be crushed. And not only the economies, the tax revenues that these towns get from people coming in and spending money.
Meals and, you know, rooms tax.
It's a huge amount of money. And around here, like with Lime Rock Park, now canceled at least through the end of May,
that's right.
There's millions and millions and millions of dollars that just aren't going to come in.
No, not to mention the, you know, all the employees who work at all these places.
Yeah.
You know, who won't be paid and who won't be, you know, stores are, I mean, I have no idea what's going to happen. And I'm also applying for an SBA loan for the Edge, by the way, and, you know, I better get in before they run out of money. Somebody said they were going to run out of money in the next couple of days, and I'm frightened.
Well, there's going to be
there'll be more.
There's going to be an additional $2 billion stimulus package, which by the way, when you add up these two stimulus packages, which are needed, the recession that's going to follow when this is all cleared up is going to be pretty incredible. It's just, I mean, there's no way around it, because there's so much debt being piled up to help us get through this short term. The long term debt and will actually probably turn into a pretty severe recession. So there's so many ramifications to what has happened with this COVID-19 on so many different levels.
But the main thing is to figure out how to A, survive it, and B, how to move forward are allowed to do that. No, seriously.
No,
because
you gotta
everybody, this is one of those, it's truly rare. And when this is looked back on, you know, this isn't one country or one segment of the economy or a bunch of bankers misbehaving. This is everybody. It's like, hi, go home.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, but that's the reason why it's going to be a tale of two stories. It's going to be what we have to do to get through the short term, and then how we deal with all of this and the fallout in the long term is going to be.
But the only thing that you can, you're absolutely right. The only thing you can do with all of that, since you don't know, you know, you're going to have to sort a little bit think on the fly. Quarterback, your receiver didn't end up quite where
fragile things are.
Well, yeah, and that,
you,
that is...
You know, did you ever... I don't think anybody anticipated... Well, anyways, I hadn't, and I hadn't read anything about this, but I'm sure there were physicians who were kind of wondering what would happen if...
The medical community and the disaster-related organizations have all looked at this and talked about this, but there's so much that goes on in Washington, D.C. and the states. It obviously was high on the list.
You had SARS in 2003. You had MERS.
Yeah, but
things that an H1N1 swine flu.
Like this.
Yeah. You never.
And I don't even remember SARS and MERS. You know, I don't
because
remember
it didn't,
doing anything.
It didn't affect you.
It may have been stronger in other countries, but we didn't really do very much here.
You know, but it didn't get here.
No.
As right. much. I mean, there were some cases, but it wasn't as extreme.
Well, it's
obviously
it's something that we're all have to get through. But you've got another story about many stories of people, and it's been here too, stepping up to help other people who need it.
Oh yeah.
Yes, we have, and well, David, you want to talk about this 17-year-old girl?
Well, she's a young woman from Great Barrington, and she's 17, and she's decided that she's going to help deliver food to people who otherwise could not get it, and so she's organized her little delivery service, which is quite resourceful, I thought.
Called Doorstep Deliverers.
Doorstep Deliverers, you know, from store to door.
and it's free. There's no charge for it. That's
right. Right.
No, yeah. She's a wonderful young woman to do this.
Yeah. Isn't she, you know, and what is cool about this is that she just thought this up, you know. And, you know, it's kind of an act of kindness, and it's kind of a relief to hear something like this when you're deluged with all the dire news of, you know, business closings and people out of work and homeless and all the consequences of a meltdown like this.
But we also had a story. I mean, it wasn't a free delivery, but we also had a story. I forget the woman's name last week. There's a woman who had started a business that we had reported on once before, where she delivered food to prep schools.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, if the kids were in their dorms and they couldn't go out, she would deliver to prep schools. And, of course, the prep schools are all gone, and she was trying to keep her business going. So, David, could you find her name? So she started, you know, she switched gears, and now she's also doing deliveries.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not free, but nevertheless, it's a much-needed service.
Well, I think it's, you know, this pandemic around here, the restaurants, and it's funny because most of the restaurants around here that did delivery were Italian or pizza restaurants, to be honest with you. I think this forever will change the landscape. I think every restaurant now will have in their back pocket and offer some sort of delivery or takeout service, because once people are used to it, they're used to it. And yes, the restaurants do lose a certain amount of in-house business. Yes, they do. But people were already
and the waiters, please.
Yeah. But people were already prepared to do takeout. So I think the whole industry of restaurants are really going to have to look around and make some changes.
I think they're probably going to have to do both because there are going to be people who, once they know it's safe, are not going to want to sit and...
I mean, we have another story about a restaurant in Housatonic, the little village that's just north of Great Barrington, is sort of a hamlet of Great Barrington. And there's a chef there who named Craig Barra, who runs a Pleasant in Maine, a restaurant.
It's a
very cute little restaurant, and he has decided that he's going to do curbside. He will make a meal and deliver. You'll drive up in front of his store, and in front of his restaurant, he'll come out and hand you the meal that you've ordered. How about that? Right. I don't think he's going to be on roller skates, but it'll be. Easter meals and Passover meals, and they were not expensive. You know, he was really helping people out with because many people just couldn't get to the store to buy the fixins for their meals, and so he produced these kosher meals and Easter meals. So they call him the hero of Housatonic.
Well, it's, you know, so many of the Woodland, when what they do is they offer curbs.
Oh yeah, the Woodland. That's
the
a
Woodland.
Good
they offer curbside pickup, and what they do also, if you can order drinks, and you can also take those home with you as well. But it's still, like you say, it probably helps the restaurant keep afloat, but. And this is something that we all have to think about. When we just did the interview with Rick Cantelli from Salisbury Bank and Trust. Salisbury Bank and Trust alone, and they haven't finished allocating all their funds that people have applied, they figure right now that they are paying 6,000 people's wages that would have lost their wages with this PPP. And that is just Salisbury Bank and Trust. And like I said, they're only about 50% of the way through going through their loans. That's the crushing thing that you look out there is the individual people.
But that was the purpose of those programs. And you know, there's just what people don't realize when they talk about them and get further away and as they get frustrated and so forth is that the whole point was to keep just basically to have a system for paying people, keep them on the books, keep them paid, to keep them off the unemployment rolls. That's the sole purpose of that program.
Yeah, no, that is. Right.
And you know, that's laudable. Yeah. It's hiccupy, and the execution is dubious. You know, everyone's doing the best they can with it because it was being modified as you went along and realized, ooh, as with many things. But the bottom line is to keep people receiving their checks, and ideally that keeps
well.
But the problem is freelancers, of which there are so many.
And that's why there's a 1099 program.
Which program?
If you're a freelancer and you do it legally, okay, and you get paid by a 1099. You're a 1099, you can individually apply for the PPP.
They back that out. So the businesses are payroll, strictly payroll. Yeah. They were initially, when it started, 1099s. Now it's strictly payroll. Yeah. 1099s can apply themselves. They need, and there's a separate form. It's pretty simple. There is a, there's a breakdown. You have to prove with your 1099 that you did receive the income, and you have to account for it. Some of it has to go for rent. Some of it has to go for utilities, et cetera. You know, there's a breakdown. It's not just, hey, free money.
Yeah, so. So that's available out there for individuals as long as your bank can go through the SBA, the Small Business Administration. Getting away from the business side of it, though, and I do like this because we live in a community full of artists and the way different artists and art organizations are handling this. You've got a story about an artist from Pittsfield.
Peter Vakina, yes. He's a very interesting man. He is somebody who was born in Pittsfield, lived all over the world. He was a teacher, a high school science teacher, or high school chemistry, and he worked for American schools abroad and spent many, many years living abroad and came back to Pittsfield when he retired because it was home and it was his community. And he has, you know, because of his living abroad, he has a much heightened sense of community and what community means, and he wants to be part of his community again. He's been back for a couple of years. Anyway, he's a sculptor, and he is also a mosaic maker. And so he's making these wonderful mosaics on the side of cinder blocks. He's making them out of broken pottery and pieces of mirror. And they say together, the number 2 and the letters T-G-T-H-R, so no vowels, together. Is that right? T-G-T-H-R.
Anyway,
you can look it up. And he is driving around and placing them in front of organizations that are serving the public and also organizations that are locations that are very visible, and he's trying to communicate that we are all in this together. So he's put them in front of firehouses, and he asks the organization, of course, if they would mind or if they would like to have this acknowledgement of togetherness, and then with the organization, he chooses a prominent spot and he puts his mosaic there. So as of last Saturday, he had done 15, but he had five or six more in his shop that he was going to distribute on Monday, and he told me then that he was going to drive down to Sheffield, and he had a couple of places in mind in Sheffield. I haven't spoken to him since the weekend, but
yeah, maybe you should get in touch with him, and he could come down to Lakeville and Salisbury. You know?
Well, maybe, yeah. But anyway, I mean, it's a very nice, it's a feel-good story, and you know, and we're trying not to just report doom and gloom. I mean, there are really wonderful stories, and something that David didn't put on the list, and I don't know if we've put it up yet, but you know, the United Way and the Berkshire Taconic Foundation have
we have a huge
amount of money, and they raise it in about a week, several million dollars to be used around the country, around the county, for all kinds of things. So there's been a tremendous outpouring of philanthropy. But I also think this is, when we talk about changes, and I think about all the nonprofits that, you know, I don't know what's going to happen to the nonprofit community after this, because, you know, they're all the galas, I mean, all the major fundraising events have been either canceled or postponed or gone virtual, which will be nowhere near as effective as live events.
Yeah, that's part of the fallout that I've been talking about. But you know what? You've got the story about Construct, what they're doing for
Construct. Yeah, they've pulled together with the towns of Great Lenox and Great Barrington, and I'm sure this is being repeated elsewhere, but Construct provides housing for people, and what they've done is to make sure that they're going to offer emergency rental assistance to people who are struggling due to this pandemic to keep up with their mortgage or rent payments. And it's really, you know, it's great is to hear this network of people that just can come together in an emergency and really support the community, and it's remarkable.
It's one of the things.
I don't know if this, yeah, go ahead.
No, it's one of the things that I think people overlook, when you live in this area, you overlook the fact that we are definitely a tourist attraction area where we make our money on people coming in, staying here, and doing the different things. And also, but the other flip side of that is the amount of people who band together to help
the
neighbor
local community.
With neighbor and neighbor.
There's real, and I think that people who have come up, you know, to ride this out are discovering that.
You know, and I wonder if that isn't a function of our town meeting form of government, you know?
Sure it is.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Where people feel like they're very involved in the community as a whole, not just their neighborhood or, you know, their individual social circle, but rather the whole community
shebang.
Kind of, they have in the back, it's fundamentally, we are aware of our responsibility to the community as a whole.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a New England It's a New England.
Well, you feel like you've got skin in the game.
Yeah, your
vote actually matters.
Yeah, when you have the town forum type of government, people do participate in the town, and it's a town. It's not. I hate to say this, but it's not me. It's us in towns. And that's what happens in all the towns that are connected like that. It's a pretty amazing thing, and it's a constant thing. It doesn't matter what emergencies come up. Well, anyways, we are out of time already.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Wasn't that fun?
The our coronavirus 3.0 edition.
Yeah, I think next week we'll have 3.1.
Yeah, that's
right. Or 4.0.
Or might even be a 4.0. I got a feeling it's going to be. But keep safe, you guys, and keep healthy, and keep up the good work. Keep up the good work informing the community.
And you too.
All right.
Yes.
All right,
and once again, as you appealed for people, we are also appealing for members.
Yeah, it's essential for us to get through this.
It's essential for us to keep going.
Yeah. So yeah. People who can help, please help.
We have no advertisers now.
All right. Well, the BerkshireEdge.com is the location. And, guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Okay. Bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
David and Marcy from the Berkshire Edge, as we say, the BerkshireEdge.com on the web.